do our very best to finish the outline today that's in your bulletin. I think it's a huge help in folks' life spiritually that not only that they hear the word, but they think about what they're hearing. And I've always been taught that if it passes through your mind, through your lips, and also through your fingertips, it makes a huge difference. So we've left some, like I have a mouse in my pocket, but Miss Betty has left some spaces in that outline for you to fill in as we go through it. And we're going to try to finish that up today and get farther along than we were. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with the very first verse. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we've already talked about that little phrase in there. And we know that there is not anything on our part to be done in order for us not to be under condemnation. It's not, if you do this, you'll not be under condemnation. If you have received Christ as your Savior, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it's not in contention upon your performance, but on your relationship with Jesus Christ. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and no doubt that is true, and we're going to talk about that conflict here in a little while that's going on in our body. We're going to discover that our body's not on our side in this thing. And it seems like that as time goes on, it gets less and less on our side. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and we've learned that already earlier on in this passage, in these passages, in the third chapter. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the lost man, the one who thinks after the world, the carnal mind is the enemy, enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we want lost folks to act like saved folks, and they're not going to do it. We want them straighten up. They're not going to do it. That's not what it's about. It's about receiving Christ as your Savior and then let Him clean them up. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's what we need to know. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, he makes it very clear. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want you to know that when you get saved, you get all the Spirit that there is. You get all of the Holy Spirit. A false doctrine would be that you don't get all of it. But a clear doctrine is that you get all of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He may not get all of you to start with, but you have all of Him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that is, if you're born again, you've been saved, you have Jesus in your heart, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken bring to life your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Boy, he's getting ready to get good here. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again. Remember, we talked last week about that spirit of bondage. And we're not under that again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, what's that next word? It's adoption. And it doesn't matter what translation you're going to read that in, it's going to be adoption. And when it's adoption, it's adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba Father, my daddy. The spirit itself, now here is a witness. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. That's proof. That's proof. Another proof is when you look in the mirror and you see that you are not the same person. I mean, you still have the same features, but you are not the same person. And if children, then heirs. Think about that. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that great? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may, boy, he threw that in there, didn't he? That we may be also glorified together. And then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, Miss Lee, that's a good promise. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You may be seated. So if you are born again, if you know Christ as your Savior, and there shouldn't be such great confusion about that. If you know Christ as your Savior, and what the Scripture has said here is that if you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, there is this witness that is going on inside of you that you are the children of God, that you've been adopted into the family. You are part of the family. So something took place when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and for mine. You see, I had this sin debt against me because I was born into sin. But guess what? The Bible says, am I picking up okay? Are we coming through? We're not coming through. They tell me that we're having a little technical difficulty with this little deal right here. Now are we coming through? No? Okay. We'll get back over here in front of the microphone, okay? And the reason, are we? Nothing? Huh? What'd you say, Mike? Throw it? Okay. Folks that are listening to the CDs next week will try to figure out what's going on right here at this part. Anyway, we'll give up on that part. Let's say that I'm in the courtroom and the charges have been brought against me that I'm a sinner. Well, we've read Romans 3. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no denying my situation. And the judge says, you are guilty. You've confessed that you are guilty. And so the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so you're condemned. But then Jesus walks into the courtroom and he says, no, no, that's not right. He has received me as Savior. And so I have redeemed him. He is no longer guilty. His price has been paid completely, and he is free to go. The songwriter said, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, how? By the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. You know what that word infinite means? Ask your phone. It's got a great answer. It means absolute. It reaches beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. It goes beyond anything that could possibly be in our lives. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. I'm trying to find my place as I'm roaming around here. Top line. Infinite mercy. His child. Remember what we read? Adoption. His child, and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. I've met a lot of sorry Christians, but I've never met a Christian that was sorry they were a Christian. It's either the real thing or it's not. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in his beauty the King whose law I delight, who lovingly guideth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed. I'm his child evermore. His child, and forever I am. So we learned in verse 1, there's no condemnation. And so as we read through these four verses, we want to make sure that we don't get the idea that we're not under condemnation only if we're walking in the Spirit. And I'm for walking in the Spirit. I think the Bible teaches walking in the Spirit. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there is that need in our life that we walk in the Spirit. Verse 9 says you're not in the flesh. If you're born again, you're not in the flesh. And sometimes we get to thinking that we're in this state, but we're not in this state. We're in the Spirit if we're born again. And then in verse 15, he tells us that we've been adopted into God's family. In the Roman world of the first century AD, an adopted son was a son deliberately, this is good, deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to, well, I'm going to skip that word, to carry on his name and inherit his estate. He was no whit inferior in status to a son born in the ordinary course of nature. Under the Roman adoption, several things happened to the one being adopted. The adopted son lost all rights in his old family. Is that good? When you're adopted, this old family doesn't have any connection to you. One of the things that we've discovered in this, taking kids into your place, what was fostering, being foster parents, is that one of the things that we've learned in taking some classes on this fostering is that foster children, sometimes when they've been taken out of the home for some reason because it was unsafe for them and placed under foster care, that when they grow older many times and when they come out of that, when they get old enough to leave foster care, many, many, many times they go back to their old family. But in Christianity, it's not that way. When we are adopted into God's family, this says that the son lost all rights in his old family, and he gained all new rights in his new family. The old family of the adopted son was completely wiped out, with all debts being canceled, with nothing from the past counting against him anymore. That's good news, folks. That is good news. Folks spend their lives with this shadow over them about their past. But the scripture says that's not true for the Christian. We've been adopted into God's family, and so all the past is gone. So we've come down to this place of living this new life. And we've discovered through the scripture that there is this battle going on in this new life. And Paul said, those things that I want to do, seems like I can't do it. Those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it all the time. So he says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I'm carrying this thing around. What's going to be the end of that? And then he says, thank the Lord, Jesus took care of that on the cross. So how does the Christian get the energy and the desire to do God's will in this new life? Is it with you like it is with me? I know what I ought to do, but I find it hard to do. Sometimes I don't feel like I have the energy to do it. And then when I do have the energy to do it, it seems like that sometimes I don't have the will to do it. So how do I walk in the Spirit with this going on in my life? So there are two principles at work in the life of every individual, in your life and in mine. I don't want to give you any bad news. I'm going to give you some good news after the bad news, but there's a little bit of bad news right along in here. If we look back at chapter 7 and verse 21, when I would do good, evil is present with me. The NIV reads, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Have you made that discovery yet? When you would do good, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I have this battle going on, this same battle that Paul had going on in his life, you have going on in your life, and I have going on in my life. And then I make this discovery that my body is not on my side. When Gwen and I were getting ready for church this morning, I looked in the mirror and I said, my body's not on my side. And it seems like the older I get, the more against me it is. I see another law, Paul said in verse 23, a principle at work in my members. waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members, the NIV says. So, what's the answer to the question? Well, one answer to that is appropriating the work and activity of the Holy Spirit in my life. That as the Spirit works in my life, this makes it, I just can't hardly preach and stand behind this desk. When the Holy Spirit is working in my life, He is guiding my steps. And he's making things possible that were impossible. So when he says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, it is that byproduct of the saving grace of God. So, if I'm going to appropriate the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, do you have any trouble with self-talk? When things are going on in your life and you're talking to yourself and you're saying, well, this is probably what's going to happen. This person's going to say this, and this is how I'm going to respond to that. And then when it all comes down, none of those things that you were thinking about ever took place. None of them ever took place. So, where does that condemnation in our life come from? Where is this battle that's going on, and we've got this condemnation in our life? We're no good for anything. We never will be any good for anything, and that's we're condemned. Where does that come from? Well, it doesn't come from Jesus, because in John 3:17 the Bible says God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You remember the rest of that verse? But that the world through Him might be saved. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, being lifted up with pride, we fall into the condemnation of the devil. So, as we're walking this Christian life, there is this deal that we have to watch out for. As the Spirit leads us and guides us through this, we have to be careful about this pride in our life. I usually get this backwards, but it's something like this. The proverb says, pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Now, if you read that and it's backwards from that, it's still the same principle. It brings us to a place of destruction. And so when you and I get lifted up with pride, we fall into the condemnation of the devil. And then we have this, according to Revelation 12 and verse 10, we have this accuser. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, Revelation 12, 10 says, which accused them before our God day and night. You remember the example of Job? Oh yeah, he's serving you, but he's not serving you for nothing. He's getting a price out of it. I mean, look at his life. He's rich. Look at his life. He's got a good family. Look at his life. All of his kids are well, and his grandchildren are well. They've got it made. So he's saying, yeah, I put God first in my life, but it is because all of these things are true in his life. And the devil is accusing Job before God. And then God says, okay, take them all away, and you'll see what he'll do. And so the devil does. Takes them all away. And then Job makes that tremendous statement that you and I can build our life on. Do you remember what it is? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now, when folks are too lazy to get out of bed and come to church on Sunday morning, they do not have that attitude in their life. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. When folks will not give of their resources to fund God's work, they cannot say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. They've not come to that place in their life yet. And so the devil doesn't have to accuse them before God, because they're going to be doing his bidding anyway. So our position doesn't have to do with how we feel, but with the truth of the Scripture. I want us to do a little Bible drilling this morning as we close. I want you to look with me at 1 John. 2 John out, so they must still have 1 John 5. Look at verse 11. And this is the record that God is one of these days going to give us eternal life. Is that what that verse says? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And here he makes it very clear. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then when you look in the Gospels of John, the 20th chapter, we get more evidence as we look at verse 31. The Bible says, but these are written that you might believe. He's talking about the Scripture. He's talking about the Word of God. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And then Ephesians 2, 8, 9, most of you could quote that. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we get over to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. This new Bible, it's hard to get it to cooperate. The 12th verse says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 5 in verse 24 says, are you keeping up? I about read the wrong one. And the only way you know is if you're keeping up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, and what's that next word? And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And I have read it through, and I've yet to find a place where it says it is temporary. But every place that I read it, it is everlasting or eternal life. And shall not, boy, here's some good news if you're ready for it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And then as Paul was writing the book of Romans, he's explaining this over and over and over again. Finally, John 10. And look at verse 27. And my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. That's good news, isn't it? And I know them. And they kind of do as they please. Is that what the end of that verse says? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Let's stand together.
Just as I am without want, weep, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Just as